At the beginning of your supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come, the Lord says to Daniel, to show you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. So the Lord God hath chosen Daniel in the Old Testament. He was the last of the Jewish nation who was of the royal family. And as he was a young man, probably 12 years old or so, as he was a young man, he determined to remember his mother's teaching. He determined to remember what he was taught when he was young. And the men with him that were also, this is about 600 B.C., so about 2,600 years ago. And Daniel had determined in his heart to please God. That's something that many young people need to do when you're young, is to determine in your heart that I'm going to serve God. I'm going to be like Jesus created me to be, which is to emulate, to do the things that God would want to do. And to do so, you'd have to know how he speaks to you. You'd have to know that God wants a personal, intimate relationship with every single believer. And that young example that Daniel experienced before God was the beginning of the ending. It was the beginning of the ending. Everything after Daniel in Babylon becomes something that everything afterward is last days. Everything before that is those first part of the 7-day week. And everything after that, 2,500, 2,600 years before Jesus, today, these things that Daniel prophesied connected the last 3,000 years of human history. So we've only finished now the 6th day, and we're now in the 7th day. And so all of the founders of the church, that is the founding fathers of church history, all believed without exception that the world was created in 7 days, and that therefore there would be 7,000 years of those time frame for history. And so history isn't over until the 7,000th year. There's only 1,000 left. So whatever exact day there is, this is an interesting year. Because things happened over the last 2,000 years since Jesus departed that bear witness to this testimony that Daniel was given on the 70th week. Now, you know, a week for the Lord is just 70 times something. And that word in the Hebrew is Shabua. Shabua means 70 times 7, which would be 490 years. So that time is not up. That time still has 2.5 years, 2.5 years to go. Did I say 2.5? 3.5. 3.5 years to go. So Jesus fulfilled the first half of that week. From the time John the Baptist began his ministry, he used these words, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And people then gathered from all of Israel, and they began to repent of their sins. Several months later, about 6 months, because Daniel was 6 months older than Jesus. Not Daniel, but John the Baptist. And so since that was the case, Jesus didn't start his ministry until he was 30 years old. You could not start a ministry until you were 30 years of age. So no one entered into a ministerial office, whether it be prophet, priest, king. You could not enter in until you were matured. So you had to be at least 30 years old. And so John the Baptist, at age 30, this would be 6 months earlier, in other words, the time of the fall festival. And at that time, John began to call his neighbors and friends together that had a Jewish background, and he was the last one under the law. And Jesus said he is the greatest man born of woman. Jesus said that. That's amazing, because John only lived a few years. He was 30, and then 6 months later, he's killed. So he didn't live a long time. But Jesus said, this is the greatest man, and it's because of Jesus himself. Because he's the one that, though his mother brought him into the world as the light, and he was her son, though she did that, she did not understand the fullness of the ministry. She understood what her relatives had shared with her. But when this happened, Daniel had prophesied that this was going to happen, and then it would be cut short after the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus, of course, rose from the dead on the third day, and then for 40 days, he taught them of the kingdom of God. He taught, in other words, the whole mission of Jesus would be to teach from now on, something is ended and something has begun. So now 2,000 years have passed since that point. We haven't seen Jesus since. But he's about to come back after, this is something that hasn't happened yet, after there's 1,260 days, 42 months, 3.5 years, and that thing would be that the Antichrist, who is opposite to Christ, who's a substitute for Christ, who's saying, I am God. I am God. He will sit in Jerusalem. We don't know exactly when this will be, but Jerusalem is already, I've gone many, many times to Jerusalem. And they already have the candelabra, they already have the priest suit, they already have all kinds of paraphernalia that would rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. It's not exactly where scholars have assumed it would be, but it's there close to the old city. And to do that, you have to have a red heifer from Texas. I don't know if you know that. I'm not joking. You have to have, it's from West Texas. And that heifer is the only thing that will allow the temple to be used by men. So if you were to cleanse that temple, you'd have to have those ashes of the red heifer to make that thing pure, and then worship could begin. That hasn't yet happened. So it's still a way off. So the last half of the week, 3.5 years, hasn't yet occurred. And they actually have, with several of the growers, out in West Texas. They actually have contracts already long ago drawn up, so that you have to be a year old. There has to be all kinds of Jewish prescriptions that have to take place. So this prophecy from Daniel is an amazing prophecy which begins the last days, when the kingdom of God will be the only message of Jesus Christ. You are the kingdom of God. It's not a building. It's not a place. It's a people. And so you are the new creation. In the Greek language, kaine katesis. That is, you are a new creation that was never before. Never. The world doesn't see this. We see it. That we're part of a family of God that has an eternal heritage, not just behaving ourselves here, but actually bearing fruit for God as Jesus's, what I would say, trustees or his stewardship. We are able to actually do whatever the Lord in heaven wishes to do. We who are his, that belong to him, we'll be able to hear him. My sheep hear my voice. We'll be able to hear him. And then do the things that God have shown us. Now, if God did not enter into time, if he created the world and then let it go, as many, many people in our day think, but Christians do not think this way. If he let it go, then God's ongoing work would cease. But because God's ongoing works are still experienced by us, it's because God wants us to say the things that God says, do the things that God does, and actually complete the kingdom that he is building, and you are the building. So everyone here is the building that God is creating, and unlike the Tower of Babel that Nimrod created in the 10th chapter of Genesis, unlike that tower, which never was finished, this tower that Jesus is building will last forever and ever. In other words, for all times, not only in this age, which is chronological, but in the next age, which is not chronological, age upon age, world upon world, that we will live forever and ever. Now, none of us had any time before we were born. None of us had that time beforehand. But now that you're a new creation, you have that time that you didn't have before the beginning, but now you have it to list forever and ever and ever and ever. So that's an amazing kind of truth that we have. Now, why I'm preaching now, by divine choosing me to preach on this, is because there are many things in the scriptures which are not known by the people of God, even though in the scripture, even though they're there. People misread the Old Testament and also misread the New Testament, meaning there are lots of mysteries of iniquity, mysteries of righteousness that we need to know about, and at least about 33 of them are in my head right now. All of those, I can easily lay them out. Those are the things that I want to preach on for the next part of the year. And so those 33 discrete items having to do with, for example, the millennium. That's the 1,000 years yet to come. But that's after the Antichrist and his false prophet have done away with the whore. They've finished off the whore, just like that. The 10 nations that gave their power over to Satan. Satan has now used them to not only put forth his beast, a living creature, but it's a beast that actually is like Jesus. It's like a copy of Jesus. That's the one that will sit in Jerusalem and say, I am God. In other words, the Messiah you're looking for, Jesus, I'm He. I'm the one. And He'll be attended by signs and wonders. Now, none of you have seen that. None of us have seen anything like that. So the world to come is even more incredible than the last 6,000 years of human history. So those things need to be spelled out, especially from now until that time when there's a new heaven and a new earth that you do not see today. It'll be cleansed by fire, not by water. You remember in the flood, there was water that purified the earth and made a whole new earth. And so the first earth was gone, and a second earth, the one you see today, was not seen. It's no longer seen. But this time, it will be by fire. There's be a lot of judgments between now and the future. So, does all that make sense? What God is wanting to do then is share with someone that lived 2,600 years ago after David, after David, Solomon, and so on, when the kings began to fade away and Israel had gone into exile. They had gone into being spewed out into the world. The Assyrians, who replaced the Egyptians as the world power, they were the ones that captured Israel, the northern tribes. So this only affects the Yankees. So those that come south realize that the southern tribes of Israel were more spiritual. And the older sister, who had been warned many times, don't go the way you're going because I can no longer speak to you. I want to speak to you. And if you'll repent, I will. But to this day, it hasn't happened. And so then they faded in. They're in Iran today. They're all over the place because of the Syrians or Assyrians. And now Babylon replaced that kingdom with Nebuchadnezzar, the great king of Babylon. And he's a whole story in himself. But this king of Babylon was the fourth kingdom that Daniel saw in a vision. This was earlier in this chapter. Earlier in this chapter, the king had a dream. And in this dream, he saw four kingdoms: Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome. But he couldn't remember it. He dreamed it. Have you ever had a dream like that? And you wake up and, wow, that was vivid. And then it's gone. You can't remember it all. So he said to everybody, you need to tell me what I dreamed. I don't want to just know the interpretation. I want to know what I dreamed and then give you interpretation. Well, they wouldn't do it. And since they wouldn't do it, that he said to them, well, I'm going to kill you all because they couldn't. They just were faking it. And he recognized that because this was a vivid, vivid dream about these four kingdoms that were going to follow his kingdom, which the Babylonians knew we're going to conquer the world. And it's just like the spirit that's in the world today. And so this Nebuchadnezzar decided to take Daniel and certain of his friends others, that they would train so that they could then go back to Israel, and that would be they would be Babylonian. They would have Babylonian names, and they would then be able to conquer that part of the world because it's their own language and their own people groups. But it never happened because Daniel became the first one in charge of even all Nebuchadnezzar's people. He was the president. He was the top guy. So this Daniel is now very ancient. He's already in his 90s, just like our sister. And he has a lot of wisdom. But he saw this vision, and he came in and interpreted the dream. And the king said, you know, how is it that you're able to interpret this dream? He said, because we have a God unlike you. We have a God that can answer us and speak to us, and we hear him. And so I don't have any wisdom, but this God who loves you, king, and wants you to live long, he will speak to me exactly all the details and tell you everything that happened. So then he told this story. The first one was a lion. The lion was the kingdom of Babylon, and it was gold. The next one was a bear. And so this bear was the Persian Empire, which replaced 70 years later. It replaced that kingdom of Babylon. Babylon didn't last very long. And Babylon, by the way, has never been rebuilt. Never, never, never. It's still to this day a dead place. It's desolate. It doesn't exist anymore. Prior to it, it had been Egypt, the oldest one, and then Assyria, and then Babylon, and then Persia, and then Greece, which would be a leopard, and then the final one would be Rome. Now, Rome was diverse from all the other kingdoms. It had three lives. And those three lives are Rome, Rome, and Rome. But their descriptions are interesting because each one did something different than the one before it. And so now we're in the third Rome, the third Rome. And it's called the New World Order Rome. How many of you have heard of it? Okay, the New World Order, you may not understand it. There have been lots of books written about it. But the New World Order is exactly why the president now that's president was elected. Because he was not a globalist. He did not believe in the global agenda. So since that's the case, the UN agenda and all the agendas that are all out there are being copied by every city in the United States. And everywhere, their programs reach down to the smallest citizen. And Donald Trump ran on absolutely the opposite of that and defied all the Republicans, the Democrats, the independents, etc., etc. He defied them and won. How he won is interesting. But I see in all of that not so much Donald Trump. I see in that the mercy of God. I'm not saying Donald Trump is the merciful one. I'm just saying I see in that not Trump at all. I see Jesus Christ about to re-enter second time to come to earth and replace those that said, we are God. Replace those. So the beast and the false prophet. Now, you know, the false prophet is very interesting because it happens to be that Muhammad was a prophet. And he claimed that he was the true prophet of God out of Ishmael, one of the Abrahamic older sons. And so they claim that Ishmael was the one sacrificed or would be or could be and so on and so forth. And so they changed the story. But the truth is, he's a false, false prophet. So I wouldn't say this out in public, but I say it here, that he lies. He does not tell the truth. So this false prophet will not rebuild the kingdom that they're trying to build, which is to reestablish the Tower of Babel, which Nimrod first started before there was any civilization all on the earth. It's all in the Bible. Everything that I say to you is all in the Bible. So this prophet, whether it is Islamic or not, I don't care. It could be anyone else. But it is frightening to people today in the culture today to think, if this Sharia law takes place, and lots of people want it, many more than you know about. Lots of people want it because they like to have a strong man defeat Trump and defeat all of his program and to rebuild the ancient kingdom that's on the dollar bill that you hold. So this is fascinating that we're going to read from Daniel something that is probably not known. 70 weeks are determined. 70 weeks are determined. 70 weeks are determined. What does it mean, determined? So if it says this is 9:23 and 9:24. So 9:24 says God himself determined in heaven what this the Greek language, it's boule, which means he has a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in heaven that determines everything on earth without force. Everything on earth without force. Everything on earth without force. In other words, God just simply says, with no power at all, except his word. Except his word. He just simply says, this is going to happen. Because he has foreknowledge. And by foreknowledge, then, he knows that man, no matter what they decide, it's going to go exactly the way God wants it to go. It cannot go anywhere. But no force. God never has forced what is good, what is right, what is true, and what is just. Never. At any time. And we should be like that. You and I should be like that. No one forces me to be a pastor. No one forces me to do anything that I do. I'm not forced by anyone. No one. But I choose this with all that it entails, including death. I choose it because I believe in it. I believe that God has told me the truth, and the truth has set me free. So, like this Daniel, a servant of the living God, I also feel that there's a burden on me to always do that which is right, true, just. I don't want to do anything else. I want to do the will of God no matter what, even to the death. It's how we overcome the devil. You overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and because we love not our lives to the death. So if you do love that, because you want to stay alive, I don't blame you. It's a really good idea if you don't want to please God. 70 weeks are determined upon your people, Israel, and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of the sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. So Jesus was, in this particular passage, he was about to be inaugurated. He came as a king on the earth. And he was a priest king. He was the only one that could be ever, in the history of the world, the priest king. So Jesus is between God and you is Jesus Christ, who was sent from heaven to earth to be the mediator, the one that mediated your concerns to God and God's concern to you. Now, your concerns are these. I want to be happy. Did you hear what I just said? So I want to be happy. Everybody in the world that is born wants to be happy. There hasn't been anyone that said, I'd like to be a miserable, no one. So everybody wants to be happy. And God, and Jesus' first sermon, his very first sermon, was on that topic. Happy is the man. Blah, 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 blah. And he named him over and over and over again. Happy is the man that's poor in spirit. Happy is the man that is mourning. And happy is... He had all kinds of weird things to say, but the people were totally drawn to him. They didn't know why, but they were drawn to him. Even his enemies showed up. And so when Jesus then preached this sermon about happiness, he's really touching all of us, because all of us want to be happy. I want to be healthy. I want to be strong. I want to be, smart, whatever. Whatever it takes to have everything go my way. Only God retranslates that into saying, oh, you mean to do everything I want. Well, I wasn't thinking of that. I was just thinking of what I want. And so every person wants everything to go his way, and I'm not thinking about the neighbor. I don't care about the neighbor. I just want everything to go my way. And when you're sick, you don't think about anyone else that's sick. You're thinking of yourself, because you want everything to go your way. But God retranslates that and says, no, what you mean is your happiness is tied up with me being in relationship to you. Oh, it is? Uh-huh. So God retranslates your wishes to the truth, because the truth sets free, love does not. I'm going to say that again. Love does not set free. Love actually binds you to other people. You're bound. If you love somebody else, you care for them. And so you're not able to take care of just yourself. You're also able to take care of yourself and them. That's powerful. That's a powerful thing that God is retraining us without force to think the way he thinks, because his thoughts are not our thoughts and his ways are not our ways. So he's retraining us to think his way. You can imagine that this idea may not be popular in the culture, because the culture is selfish. The culture is totally for myself and fully on everyone else. But for me and my house, I'm not going that way. I want to just please God, period, over, out, because Jesus said, if you lose your life, you find it. If you keep your life, you lose it. I remembered that. It said, if I trust God, if I get all my trust in God, if I believe he can't lie to me, if I believe he's told me the truth, that'll set me free forever and ever. That's what I believe. So I believe that a lot of people will not receive Jesus Christ. I believe that. But I also believe that everyone could. Everyone could. Either they have what's called in the natural man, the law of nature, is called conscience. Did you know everyone has a conscience? Everybody that's created by God has a conscience. Something that says, if you do me in, I don't like it. But if I do you in, I have a story. Could tell why I did that. So the truth is, I have a conscience that tells me, don't do wrong to somebody as you would have someone else do to you, do so to them. Y'all familiar with that? The golden rule, whatever. And not he who has the gold rules. But the golden rule is that whatever you would want men to do to you, do so to them. And so over the years, he's retrained me. He's reoriented me to think like he thinks rather than the way I think. because all of his laws seem to go against my grain. They go against my will, my mind, my emotions, and God wants me to now think the way he thinks. And trying that, I realize, wow, what he's doing is really setting me free. I don't really care about the things I used to care about. And now the things that I used to be worried about, I'm not worried about them. So God wants us to adopt the same way Jesus lives in heaven, the same way we are now living on earth. So here's the prophecy, verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks. I told you the word weeks is not in the Bible. So weeks is just Shabua. Say it, Shabua. Shabua. It just means 70 times 7. It's just all it means. So 70 weeks have been prepared, and then it modifies that by saying 69 of them, 69 of those 70 times 7, which is 483, will be from a moment in time when the commandment goes forth out of Persia. Remember, he started out in Babylon. He lived when he was, 12-ish or whatever he was. And then he grew all the way up. And now he's in almost his final years. He's looking now at the second kingdom, that this kingdom, 70 years later, is now a new kingdom, a different kingdom than the one before it. But actually, it's the same. There's no difference between someone who controls me in one country and another, as far as many nations are concerned. Just they don't even care about their leaders because they're crooked. They're just corrupt. And so a lot of people just go about their business or pay off somebody or hire a lawyer. The higher war was a joke. We do it that way here, but in other countries, they don't do it that way. They just pay somebody off, the mafia, whatever. And that's the way the world is run. The way the world is run, I come from a mafia background. So my whole family is mafia. All my uncles and all my grandfathers, all of them. We're all in federal pen, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, bad group. I'm the good one. I'm just joking. I'm not the good one. I was also wanting to be bad like they were, but something happened to me and changed my life. And so that changing is remarkable because I was gearing for crime. I was gearing for being a criminal. And I don't look like a criminal, but I am deep down. And Jesus has renewed me. So now I'm in love with Jesus. How many know that you have a personal relationship with Jesus and that personal relationship changes you? That's what we teach. We teach that everybody can become like God in this world. And so that's what happened to Daniel. When that thing to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, when that issue comes out of the Persian Empire, and it was at the time of Ahasuerus, which was the king over Queen Esther. You remember Queen Esther in the Bible? It's a whole book all about her. That her husband was the one that had Vashti, which we had a play on 2 years ago or whatever it was. Maybe, was it last year? When did we have that? That was good. I loved it. I loved especially that Shannon had that line in there. It said, who is she? So it was great.
It was awesome. But
Queen Esther is now married to a great king that tried to overthrow the Roman Empire twice, failed each time. So he wasn't able to overthrow the Greeks. And so there was Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome, and Rome, and Rome. So that little interesting thing is what Daniel is all about. We'll study that another time. But this time, I just want you to hear exactly what this says because it's given you the time. 483 years later, John the Baptist will begin his ministry. And when that happens, when John begins his ministry, he is able to point out, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." Not just forgives. Takes them away. If he were just Savior, he'd forgive you for the sin, but leave the sin in you. This one actually not only points out the sin and said, "God forgives you," now then he wants to take it away so that you're no longer living in the sin that you once were part of. You are now free. You've been set free forever. And then, after that's over, then you will marry Jesus when he comes back to punish the beast and the false prophet who have already done in the whore of Babylon. The whore of Babylon is a very specific person. It's not somebody blurry. It's someone very clear. And I'm not going to tell you who. Because it's so important. But it has to do with the time at which this man is living. You see, he came after Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and. Most of these prophets, these are about 200 years before Daniel, to 100 years. And he comes after them and repeats that what Isaiah was all about was not how to save Israel from her sins. God was tired of Israel not repenting from her sins, which she saw her sister do and then went into exile. Now Israel is about to go into exile unless somebody says something that gives them hope. But the prophet Isaiah had no hope for Israel. Did you just hear what I just said? So he didn't have hope because there's only so long that God can argue with you and say, "Give up your sin, trust me." Couldn't, didn't. Therefore, he said to the prophet, "Okay, from now on, tell them that what they hear, they will not understand, that what they see, they will not perceive, and their heart is fat." In other words, they're just living off the land. They're not interested in God at all. So the Babylonians come later than this, and in about the year, let's say 600 BC, that's when this prophecy of Daniel, 200 years later, says that his ministry was to actually create a new idea that Jesus would introduce in the example I just gave. 483 years later. 457 BC, 483 years later, John the Baptist enters his ministry. 6 months later, Jesus enters his ministry. Then he is born, and then he's born in that very exact hour. You can read this in Luke. He's born at that time around Passover. And since he's born then, that messes up our theology, our understanding, is if he's born then, how is it that we're celebrating something called Mithras? Mithras is a great Greek god of the Roman pantheon who you would have to bathe yourself in his blood. You would run underneath this kind of covering, and the blood would drip down from that bull on top, and you were born again. Do you understand what I'm just saying? So you were said to be born again, and it's just purely made up. It's just purely ritual. There is no such thing. It doesn't even exist. But his date was the 25th of December. And so on that date, people in the Roman Empire would follow that one until Christianity came and replaced it. And then later, and I'll tell all of this later, it was reversed so that the Christians then became on top rather than persecuted for about 300 years. 300 years, the Christians were persecuted, 10 persecutions beginning with Nero all the way to Constantine, the emperor who made Christianity the official religion of the Western world. So what I'm saying to you is this man was saying from the time that this decree goes forth, from that moment, 483 years later, which is 69, from that moment, that's when John starts his ministry. 3.5 years later, 1,260 days, that ministry is over. Jesus is killed. He waits 40 more days, teaches him about the kingdom, and he's gone forever. We haven't seen him since. Now, where is Jesus today?
At the right hand of the Father.
Right. He's at the right hand of the Father. Where is Jesus today? Because he's a spirit. Because Jesus is a spirit. He not only rose from the dead, he now rose to live in your heart personally. So he's with the Father and with you because he's the mediator. He's the one that makes the Father pleased with his children and makes us pleased with God. Wow, that's powerful. In other words, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. So God is the one that made the atonement. God is the one that made the sacrifice, the offering, so that we would be acceptable with nothing but faith that Jesus Christ is my righteousness. So that what God had said to Abraham's son, Father, here's the fire and here's the wood. And he had the wood on his back, by the way. It's like he was going to be crucified. He had the wood on his back and it was all carved up and so on and so forth. And the Father then answered him, God himself will provide for himself a lamb so that you don't need to. And so as he is about to plunge the knife, God stays his hand and said, Abraham, Abraham, withhold thy hand. Don't finish this, because the sacrifice I don't want you to give, I want to give on your behalf, on behalf of all mankind. Did you know Abraham was in the ancient world right after the flood, right after that period of time? Abraham was the one that's now the whole world. If you want world peace, you have to go through Abraham. Because he's the only one, his religion is not of law. It's of the gospel. It's of this. It's not of this. It's not me behaving, it's God behaving. It's not me doing something, it's God doing something. It's not my work, it's God's work. Did you hear what I just said? It's powerful. This is powerful. Because God wants us to realize he doesn't want you to do anything. He wants you to receive as a free gift his merciful promise in Jesus Christ. Not a law that you have to do, but a promise you have to believe. not a law that you have to do, but a promise you have to believe.
Amen.
If you then believe that Jesus is your righteousness, it says so over and over again, that Jesus is our righteousness. This is powerful. So that we believe that just because Jesus died, he couldn't stay dead 3 days later. Because he asked him that question. He said, what do you think? What do you think about me dying? Because he had shared that with him. He said, you can't die. You're the Son of God. You're the true and living God. I mean, no, you can't die. But he did. But after 3 days, he was raised from the dead and ascended into heaven 40 days later, just before Pentecost, 10 days before Pentecost. So Jesus came back. Now, why I'm saying all this is not to rehearse what we already know. It's to say what's now before us is huge. It's 1,000 years. 1,000 years is 1/7. It's 1/7 of all that God is doing. And it still hasn't happened yet. I mean, we're already into the 7,000th year of world history. So world history is not as your history books teach it at all. They are false. They're not true because they don't follow the scripture. But we do follow the scripture, and the scriptures are correct. And so that all that God said and done, I don't know if any other state believes this, but here in Texas, we do. We believe that everything God hath said is the truth. And so therefore, we're willing to die for it. We're willing to give up everything for it. Why? Because I believe that God can't lie. I don't believe he can lie to me. And I believe he's told us the truth. Here in Texas, we believe a horseshoe is a horseshoe. Where in other states, they actually believe that learned people are smart. We don't believe that here. So we believe that learned people are not so smart. Have you ever experienced that in your own life where you went, gee, I don't even know that. Just sometimes it occurs to us that we don't know everything. It's just sometimes that just occurs to us is, gah, I don't even know that. So that's why I want to teach you about this prophecy, and I'll end up this prophecy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. That's Jesus. That's exactly Jesus' ministry. Exactly. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. Exactly the time Jesus lived. And after 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. Did you know that Jesus died for you? He didn't die for himself. He was not interested in his own agenda. The only reason he's in heaven right now is to bless us, to intercede for us, to pray for us. And all the holy angels in heaven, they consider that their job, because they only have one thing in mind, that is not to fail the Father's plan. They don't have anything else in mind. Satan, in fact, was part of that 2/3 of the angels. They were the other part, the third part, and they rebelled against God. They were. We don't want to go that way. I don't know what made Satan mad. He used to be called Lucifer. But now he's got a lot of names. But one of the names is he was mad. And I think I know. I could be wrong. But I think I know. You want to hear it? I think it's because he was jealous of us dirtbags getting ahead of him. Because all we are. Because, angels weren't made out of dirt. We're the dirtbag people. And I believe that he didn't like it that us lowly nobodies would someday marry Jesus. I think that irked them. So that if I were Satan, that would make me mad. Hey, we're made out of, you know, fluffier stuff than that. You know, why are you letting those people in? I don't know. We don't know, because all of this was for our benefit. Everything was all made for your blessing, for your happiness, for your purpose down here. Just if you follow your own way, it doesn't work. But if you follow his way, it works. So if you follow what God hath said, you don't know. You don't know until you try it. Until you actually try it, I find that what God said works in our marriage. It works in, you know, everything that I do. So I'm still learning today. I want to do just exactly what Jesus said. Why? Because it's powerful. All our kids are Christians and blah, 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 and all that stuff. It's powerful because Jesus Christ loves us, not only in the world to come, in this world. We're able to bear fruit for God because you're the branch in his vine. He's the vine. He's the big stick that, you know, sticks up, and about 40 branches rule out of that branch. All that 40, it's an interesting number, by the way, all that 40 branches, 3/4 of them are cut off and only 10 remain normal. So it takes about 3 to 5 years to have a commercial crop. So if you wanted to have a commercial crop like in Grapevine, you just do it right next to David's house. Works. And they have to trim it maybe 7-8 times over and over and over again, lay off those branches, because they're trying to make the 10 that are left the strongest. And so they cut off all the other branches so that only those 10. You're one of those branches in Christ's tree that bears fruit for God, and it wasn't us. I didn't do it. I didn't do anything. All I did was read the book. All I did was read the book. All I did was read the offer. The offer was very good, because the offer said, Jim, everything here that I've written down is for you. Why? How come? I didn't do anything right. I wasn't that good. I was not that good. But Jesus said, I like you. It's the end of it. There it is. I like you. That does me in. I like anybody that likes me. And since God likes me, he's the strongest, biggest, powerfulest, you know. He knows everything and does everything. I'm sticking with him. Did you know that 1 + God is a majority? Just you alone, just with God on your side, you win. Because Jesus always gets his way. He has never once been defeated, ever. Even when it looked like he was out, he was still going. So the Messiah, verse 27, this is the last one. And he shall, I didn't read the last part of that, 26. And the end thereof, and the people of that prince, that's another prince, shall come and destroy the city, this is the Romans, in 70 AD. And the end thereof shall be with a flood, which he's talking about, because the Bible actually mentions this, that the blood of the 2 million Jews that were in that city at that time, it was all the way up to bridle. In other words, the horses they were riding, they were destroyed, because that's how much blood was shed for several million Jews at that time living in Jerusalem. Every Christian escaped to Petra, right across the way, over on the Jordan side of the river, up a ways. Every Christian, nobody lost. No Christian was lost at that time. It's powerful. So all the Christians remembered what Jesus said when he said, when you see the Romans surrounding the city, flee. Don't even go up and collect anything you need. Just flee. And every Christian escaped. And that's written in a great Catholic scholar, Eusebius, who wrote that whole story down. And if he's to be believed, I think everything that he wrote may well be true. I don't know. But I believe that the Christians were spared because I think that's what's going to happen to us. I think when the bad guy wants us, he's not going to be able to find us. And so whatever the Antichrist does, it's for his own people. It's for his own, you know, people that follow him. But you and I don't have to be afraid of the bad guy. I want you to know, always good guys outnumber bad guys every time. God has rigged the world so that all the good guys are outnumbering the bad guys. And so sooner or later, good guys win. Because we may be fools and idiots and at times just, you know, deceived. But sooner or later, God's people are protected by God. And God does that without force. He doesn't force anything. He just simply does it. I don't know how it works. I just know that it works. So here's the last verse. And destroy the city, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. I told you blood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. Now, what's a desolation? It means something that is like a waste. Something that's a waste. A piece of land that has no greenery on it. Just something that has no hope in it. No hope. So desolations are decreed to Daniel from his moment on all the way to the Romans, all the way to the Romans. So Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Greece is the fifth kingdom, and then the Greeks are the fifth, because if you go Egypt, and then Assyria, and then Babylon, and then Persia, and then Greece, they're the fifth. If you number, it depends on how you number. If you number that, they're always the fifth, which we're going to read about later. So the next is Rome, Rome, Rome. That's it. That's it. So those are the four kingdoms. So this is the last. And he shall confirm the covenant with many. For 1 week, during that week. In other words, that when he comes back, when Jesus comes back, he's going to confirm the covenant with many. All of us. All of us. Because he now confirms that he was the true king. Not the guy that said, I'm king or I'm God. But the guy that actually is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the true king. And he'll confirm that with many. So the whole week was really Jesus's. The whole week. Because he took it over just before they were able to put in the new world order. That's why Trump is president. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. You know what that is? That's when the law ended forever. That's when the law ended forever. The time of the law was over. John the Baptist signaled that time. John, the last one, the greatest one, introduced Jesus to end. And from that moment on, the kingdom of God became the only kingdom in this world. And all the other kingdoms are nothing. This is the only kingdom of God, and we're living that kingdom now. From that moment on, when Jesus taught of that kingdom for 40 days, he actually was teaching of it from now on. This is the new creation that God made. This is the new thing. From now on, everything that we do is to preach the kingdom of God and His righteousness. His righteousness. And for the overspreading of abominations. So this was the desolation of abomination. He shall make it desolate, and even unto the consummation, the end, when new heavens and new earth. And that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate. Now, I know you don't understand all of that, but if you read this over carefully, you'll see that he divided the 3.5 weeks when Jesus' ministry took place, and he divided it then from the time he's coming back to not only raise those two witnesses that took place, but also then to marry his bride, and that's the next big event. Then after that, he takes care of the wicked and all those people. So the next thing, if you want to have a happy passage, this is a happy passage. This is happiness. This is happiness. Happy is the wife. Happy is the woman. Happy is the one that's invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. There it is. And you cannot change that. Jesus changed it forever, and never after that was any wicked person ever found. Heaven and earth. Nowhere. There'll be no more wicked after he returns. This time, when he returns, he is not the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He's the Lion of Judah that establishes Israel on the earth and then the Gentiles underneath, just as God originally intended it. With the wife, with Jesus and his bride. Jesus and his bride. We're the bride. Jesus and his bride. They'll be ruling over the 12 tribes of Israel on earth. And underneath them, the Gentile nations. And they'll all behave. For 1,000 years, everyone will behave. Everyone will behave. They don't want to. They don't necessarily feel good about it, but they do it anyway. Because people have always been able to obey the Lord, even when they said, no, I don't want to. But they always have. You can meet anybody you want because they have within them the ability to be a hypocrite at least. They're a hypocrite because it goes against their grain. It goes against their natural life. Everything that God has said is to kill your flesh and set you free. So you can walk in the Spirit. Kill your flesh, set you free, for you can walk in the Spirit. So, how many are ready to go all the way with Jesus? It's powerful. Because Jesus wants to have not only in heaven, he wants to have on earth. A people that are known for bearing fruit for God. That's our religion. That's the truth that will set you free.